Good morning, Danielle Raphael.
Good morning, Pam. We're straight into it today.
Yeah, we are straight into it. Every Wednesday here at about this time, we make some time for books. We make some time to talk about what's going on in book world. We've got the headlines and we do a little bit of a blind date with a book.
Yep.
What's going on with the headlines for books this morning?
Well, I wanted to start off with a question for you, Pam, because I feel like I'm always getting the questions.
Okay, and I gave you no questions this morning. I didn't even say, how are you? You went, Pam, you've changed the format on me.
That is so fine, but I did want to ask you, what was your first book memory?
Ooh, I don't know. I think that it could have been an Angelina Ballerina situation.
I had a hunch that it would be Angelina Ballerina. Continue, go on.
Or it could have been those ones with the gold spines, you know, and you'd collect them when you were a kid. And I remember my mum always reading us sort of excerpts of Paddington Bear.
Mm, oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. So those are those are the early ones.
Yeah, books of formative memories, right? One of my first memories, and I swear by this, when people ask me, like, when were you first kind of lucid in the world? And I always refer back to being in pre-kindy and sitting on the mat and having my teacher read to me The Little Train That Could.
Oh.
And it's just such a vivid memory. I can picture the blue carpet and all the paintings on the walls and all the kids really getting into it. And books are so important for little people.
They really are.
And I wanted to draw our attention to a couple of really exciting awards that were won in this year's Children's Book Council of Australia Awards, including Kelly Canby, who was published under Fremantle Press, winning Best Picture Book for Timeless.
Oh.
And we did speak with Kelly Canby. We spoke with her this year about A Leaf Called Grief, which is another beautiful picture book, but Timeless was one that came out last year and we spoke to her. So on the website, if you're keen to check Kelly out, she's fantastic. But just a really lovely little headline that I thought ties in nicely to this idea of getting books into kids' hands and how important and special those memories are.
They really are special and they are something that you sort of carry with you. I remember the first whole book that I read on my own was Anne of Green Gables and it took me so long to read it, you know? And I remember collecting them and I definitely took that love into adulthood. But when you're a kid, some books make you feel seen, they make you feel safe, they can make you feel comfortable, they can be sort of places for you to escape into as a child too. And to have that option, to have a place like that, not only to inspire creativity and to inspire sort of understanding about things that, absolutely are difficult, like grief, but also for kids to be able to have a place to escape into, to understand story building and worlds that they can evacuate to when times are a bit difficult.
Yeah.
That was such a safety net for me and a lot of friends that I had when I was a kid was, you know, being able to escape into this world that you wouldn't have known had existed if not for the people in your life that were showing you those books. So that's really, really gorgeous that the Children's Book Council of Australia is announcing some love to some folks that are...
Some good news.
Yeah, that are doing some good stuff. We're getting into blind date with a book.
I'm straight into it today.
You're straight into it today.
Mucking around.
Who's our blind date with? What's going on?
Yeah, I think it's because I'm really excited. So this book today is all about truth-telling. It's poetry, and it's poetry that rewrites history. Pam, what are your thoughts so far?
Okay, poetry that rewrites history. Love history to be rewritten. Chronically wrong. Always. And also, depending on who's written it, I want to know who's rewriting it. You know, obviously we don't want everyone rewriting history, but there are people that should be. There are people that should be rewriting it.
Yes, and I think that's absolutely the case today. So our book is the beautiful new collection of poetry called Refugia by Noongar Yarrawoo, author, poet, academic, Elfie Shiasaki. And it's an incredibly arresting and stunning piece of work in more ways than one. But including the fact that it's published by Mugabulla Books, and shout out to our friends up in the Kimberley.
Yeah.
Absolutely adore Mugabulla. Not only are they ours to claim as Western Australians, but they're also Australia's kind of leading publication house for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander folk. And I think that speaks really nicely to this idea of rewriting colonial history. So Refugia is very similar to Elfie Shiosaki's first and very highly decorated collection of poetry called Homecoming, and that was about a group of four Noongar women across four different generations and how they've been impacted and how they have grappled with colonization, from colonization all the way at the start through to colonization in the present day, you know, colonization that happens in offices, in workplaces, in waiting rooms, and all those sorts of things. And this book, Refugia, is written in a very similar vein, but Elfie Shiosaki also draws on her own ancestry as well and dives into the state archives and does all this incredible research. So Refugia, when it came across my desk, I was really interested in the name. I was really curious by it. And what I discovered is that Refugia comes from a word called refugium, which basically means a group of people or organisms that, despite really intense environmental pressures, have overcome that. And I think there is no greater example than Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples in Australia. The book is split into three parts: bend, break, and bud. And so for the reader and for Elfie Shiosaki, I think it really reflects that agonizing and painful and traumatic history of colonization, but also in the end, imagining a really hopeful and beautiful future for generations to come. And I think that's so important, especially in a post-referendum world. And as a state, as we head towards, in 2029, our bicentenary, this idea of rewriting and reclaiming a history that for so long has been rooted in colonization is so vital.
That's why truth-telling is so important, right? It's a huge part of what we understand to be the Uluru Statement and what we want to happen for First Nations people in the country. It was a huge centre point for the voice to parliament and the discussion around that. And when things like that can't happen, when the voice gets sort of, you know, knocked back and we don't get to see that happen, things like this, smaller iterations of truth telling, yeah, absolutely, as we head towards a time where we're going to be really looking at a national identity and what we want going forwards into the next 100 years. This is important, looking at storytellers like this, engaging with them, engaging with what they have to say and actually listening. What do they want to rewrite about our history? What do they want us to celebrate about their history? So it feels like this is a particularly special way to do that.
Yeah, I think this is a work of art that is going to be so vital moving forward. I want it to be studied in schools. Like, I know poetry can be really inaccessible, but the potency of this work is, yeah, it's so arresting. It's really just an emotional cocktail of agony and anguish, and you feel sad and upset about this history that has been written in stone, but is, yeah, just, it's written by the victor, and we know that in history, when that happens, we're not getting to the truth and the heart of things. So I think that moving forward, truth-telling is absolutely vital. We've seen recently in local news that Lake Munger's been renamed to Gallup, and those steps and those hopeful futures that Elfie Shiosaki imagines in her work, I think, are really important.
It's going to be a really significant piece of work, yeah, to absolutely dive into. I've seen this on your desk over the last couple of weeks.
So it's been sitting there.
Yeah, I'll be pinching that.
It's gorgeous.
And diving into it myself. People can get it in local bookshops. They can order it from Mugabulla Books, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to get a copy of your own, Refugia by Elfie Shiosaki, a really, really beautiful choice for book club this week. A great one. Thanks, Danny.
Thanks, Pam.